Father, bless these words. Give us thoughts from your heart. In Jesus' name. Judges chapter 9, verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Isn't that a curious thing that he said? The man said, hearken unto me, that God may hearken unto you. He knew who he was before God. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the believer knowing who he is before God. Quite the contrary, there's everything right about it. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said unto the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth up God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. What is this saying? The trees said unto the olive tree. The trees are a picture of men. The olive tree is a picture of the anointed man. The olive is always referring to the anointing. And the carnal man said unto the anointed man, Be one of us. Do things like we do them. Be one of us. And we will let you tell us what to do. Be one of us. But the anointing, the anointed man will say, No, I'm not going to stop honoring God. I'm not going to stop being in the will of God to take on the natural provision over you. No. And the tree said unto the fig tree, The carnal man said unto the man, The fig tree is the tree that bears the fruits of the Spirit. The man who has the fruits of the Spirit was like the fig tree. And he said unto him, Give up the fruits of the Spirit and come and we will promote you. And he said, No, I'm going to lose my sweetness if I do what you ask me to do. And then they came up unto the vine. And the vine is where the life of God flows. And he said, Be with us. We will promote you. And he said, No, because if I go and be promoted by you in the natural, then I will lose the nourishment that people get from me, that I have received from God. No. And so what did they do? They went to a shrub. And the shrub is a picture of a withered carnal believer. This is an important principle. See, there are three things. there are trees, there are leaves, and there is fruit. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 11, "And the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth." The dove, who is the dove? The dove is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit found no place to rest. Why? Because judgment was upon the earth. The judgment of God, the negativity of man, the corruption of man and God's judgment toward that corruption, and the Holy Spirit found no place to rest His foot. So He put His hand and took her. The Holy Spirit only had a place with the man of God. So He took His place and took her and drew her into the ark unto Himself. He brought the Holy Spirit unto Himself in the presence of God. If I am in the presence of God, I am always bringing the Holy Spirit in unto myself. And this is how I get Spirit filled. And this is how I get Spirit led. And this is how I develop the fruits of the Spirit. I am in the presence of God, and the presence of God brings the Holy Spirit in unto myself. And He waited yet another 7 days. He waited till the work was finished. He waited till there was a practical application in the world of the finished work. And again, He sent out the dove from the ark. He sent out the Holy Spirit from the presence of God, from the provision of God. This is not the same ark as the Ark of the Covenant, but it is the ark of deliverance. It is still the presence of God. It is the saving presence that a person has when the world is being crazy around them, and they are going in sin and judgment and persecution and tribulation. But they are kept safe in the presence of God. Then the dove, the Holy Spirit, came to him in the evening, and behold, freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. Found an anointing. The Holy Spirit found an anointing, and it was in its mouth. And Noah knew that the waters were receded from the earth. Olive trees do not grow on high mountains. The anointing will not be found if I live only on a mountain. Olive trees grow closer to the valleys. My anointing comes from my valley experiences. When God is faithful to me in the valley and breaks me, the anointing comes out. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "And the next day when they had come out of Bethany," He was hungry, He is Jesus there, He was hungry, "and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, He went to see if perhaps He would find something on it. When He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And His disciples heard it, and that tree withered." And in Mark 11:21, the Word of God, when the disciples came across it again, that same place, the Word of God says, "And Peter, remembering, said to Him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which You cursed has withered away.'" You see, this was a tree that should have had fruit of the Spirit, but it had none. And so it withered. What did it have? What made Jesus think that He might find some fruit there? It had leaves. Let's look at that real briefly. Bethany. He came out from Bethany. The word Bethany, that name literally means house of depression or misery. And he was hungry. He was hungry, but what was he hungry after? He wasn't hungry for the leaves. He was hungry for the fruit. What are the leaves? What is a tree that has leaves? The leaves are a part of the tree that take light and turn it into nourishment. It is the believer that receives the Word of God that can nourish him. But there are those believers who receive the Word of God and are nourished unto the production of fruit. And there are those believers who receive the Word of God, but they are nourished but produce no fruit. And there is your difference. And when Jesus was hungry, he was looking for fruit in the believer. He wasn't just looking for the tree, he wanted the fruit of the tree. In our lives, we have to be very careful. It is one thing to be nourished, it is another thing to be fruitful. And certainly I cannot become fruitful unless I am nourished. But just because I am nourished does not mean that I will be fruitful. Why not? Various reasons. Like we talked about in part one perhaps. Perhaps they did not mix faith with what they heard. Or perhaps there was no humility of the heart. Perhaps there was no meekness toward God, whereby the Holy Spirit would give them something. Or if there was no humility, they were receiving light that could nourish them but were not nourished by it because they were not humble and they didn't hear. Or perhaps it was because the enemy came when the seed was sown and he stole it away. Perhaps the ground was fallow. But in any case, they received nourishment and did not produce fruit. This happens to believers, you know. It is possible for the believer to receive nourishment, but because of hardness of heart or pride or lack of meekness toward God or unbelief or whatever it may be, they will have no fruit. This is the believer for whom the nourishment eventually becomes a curse. They look like they should be healthy, but they are not. What do I mean the nourishment becomes a curse? Because if I'm getting nourished, but my life never produces fruit, I will become familiar with the nourishment. And I will stop. And I will wither away. It is very important that I mix faith through humility and meekness toward God with what I hear. Not in a hardness of heart, not in a self-consciousness, not in a production or striving, but letting the nourishment take its course in my life that it turns me into a fruitful believer. Now a tree takes some time before it will produce fruit. A tree is not planted and then the next day it has fruit all over it. It gets planted and for a while you can't even see that it's there. And it must be nourished and it must be watered and it must be well taken care of. And then it is a little sapling and it still must be nourished and watered and well taken care of. And it can take years, but it's still a healthy tree. And because it has been properly nourished and taken care of, eventually it will produce fruit if it is a healthy tree. But pride is unhealthy. Pride is a spiritual cancer. It makes me sick and it spreads itself out. Lack of meekness is spiritual anorexia. Oh, I'm in the presence of food, but I'm not nourished by it. A hard heart is almost like spiritual bulimia. I receive and I throw it back up. It's not a healthy tree. Oh, it has leaves. It has what it needs, but it has no fruit. And so no one can feed. That's not a good place to be. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, what happens? And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And this is exactly what happens to some believers. They live in a self-consciousness. They live in guilt or shame or fear, insecurity, anxiety, unbelief, whatever it may be. But they want to look good, because that self-consciousness is a consciousness also of what other people think of me. And so I want to look good, so I'll put on the fig leaves. And I won't have fruit, but I'll put on the fig leaves. And the leaves will be looking good, and I look like a healthy tree, but I'm not a healthy tree. I'm a tree that is not good, not well off spiritually. No life. Self-consciousness is the opposite of God consciousness. The proud person will always be self-conscious. The humble person will always be God conscious. Most of us are somewhere in between. Sometimes we live in pride, and sometimes we get it right every so often. They put fig leaves up. And so, why? Look how well nourished I am. I have my fig leaves. Isn't this what believers do? They don't have substance, but they have fig leaves. And they trade substance for fig leaves. And instead of getting to a place where I humble myself before God, I get to a place where I perform before man, so that man may think I'm just fine. I'm okay. You know what? Who cares what man thinks? Be okay with God. And then God will promote you in the sight of man. In Matthew 7 and verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You will know them by their fruits. This is one of those things about people who are willing to attack other believers. Those who have no fruit attack those who do. How do I know they have no fruit? Because they attack. If they had fruit, they would never attack. Those who have no fruit are negative towards those who do. How do I have no fruit? How do I know they have no fruit? Because they are negative. If they had fruit, they would not be negative. Those who spread evil reports are those who have no fruit. And they spread them about those who do have fruit. And if they had fruit, they would not spread evil reports. They have no fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It is not love to slander my brother. It is not love to be negative toward another believer, to be negative or accusing toward my pastor. It is not love. It is not love to attack my spiritual father. It's not love. It's a fruitless believer. In James 3:12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Oh, it is water, but it may not be fresh water. But if it is fresh water, the spring cannot give you salt water. And if it is salt water, it's not a fresh water spring. There is a spring that looks like a spring that has water coming out of it, but you can't drink it. And this is like the fruitless believer. They have the leaves, they have the appearance, they have the semblance of godliness, but they have no power of it. Why not? Because they're not Spirit-filled. They do the right things outwardly, but they're not Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit is not guiding them in all truth. Frequently, this person is living according to their emotions, and their emotions become their God. And they follow their emotions. And they get a wound, or they become angry. And they follow their emotions, and they respond toward another believer in anger or wounded, in a wounded spirit. Well, nobody can bear a wounded spirit. By the way, the person who possesses a wounded spirit cannot bear it either. It is a very heavy weight. If you have a wounded spirit, then go to the Savior. If you have a wounded spirit, then pick up the cross. It will heal you. People do these things as a self-preservation mechanism. People want to save their emotions, and so they live in the leaves but not having fruit, because they are trying to save their emotions. They are trying to keep their emotions on the throne of their life so that those are the God of their life. Trouble is, emotions don't think. And so they are incapable of good, healthy, Spirit-filled thought. They may know things. They may have some knowledge, but they don't know how to think. They don't know how to appropriate that knowledge. They don't know how to have wisdom. They don't know how to have properly applied doctrine in their lives. They just know doctrine, but no fruit. It's the Holy Spirit leading me in all truth that produces fruit. Sometimes people are too proud. I'm something. Don't you dare say I'm not. I'm something. Don't you dare say I'm not. Do you know what a person like that does for themselves? Agree with your adversary quickly. Or he will take you to the magistrate, and the magistrate will throw you in jail. If I say I'm something, the God will judge me as though I were something, when I'm actually not. And he will say, you have been found wanting, and I will be imprisoned. What am I imprisoned to? I'm imprisoned to my pride. I'm imprisoned to my attitude. I'm imprisoned to my emotions. I'm imprisoned to my negativity, because I think I'm something when I'm actually not. I'm made of dust, and so are you. You know, I like being dust. Why? It's easy. If I'm dust, I don't have to try to produce anything, because I can't. I simply let God do something for me, because that's all dust can do. But then again, what did the Holy Spirit breathe the breath of life into? Dust. And it was only dust that had the breath of life moving in it. It was not something, it was dust. The believer who thinks there's something is a believer who is operating outside of the Holy Spirit, because they're no longer dust. The Holy Spirit did not take a king and breathe the breath of life into him. It did not take an angel and breathe the breath of life into him. It did not take a great mountain and breathe the breath of life into it. It took some dust. It didn't even take the earth. It took the loose dust and breathe the breath of life into it. You see, these leaves say I'm something. And they look good, but they have no fruit. They receive the same word, but it doesn't benefit, because there's no fruit. I need to be a fruitful believer. Oh, you can disagree if you like, but be careful, who are you disagreeing with? If you are disagreeing with one who is fruitful, then you are also disagreeing with what that which produces fruit. Be careful about that. Then you are agreeing with that perhaps which produces no fruit. Believers get into this thing where they agree or disagree because they are proud. Who cares if you agree or disagree? Who cares if I agree or disagree? What's the fruit? If the fruit of the believer's life is good, then that life is a good life. And it's a believer who is right with God, because otherwise they can't have good fruit. But if the fruit of the believer's life is bad, it doesn't matter how good the leaves look. It's not a good life. It's producing bad fruit. Now, some people, it is possible, and I don't mean anybody here, of course. I mean those who may be listening on the internet. Some people may take offense at that. But you know what? Instead of taking offense, they would be much better off humbling themselves before God. Because if I humble myself before God, then in due time, He will lift me up. But if I puff myself up against God, against the man of God, against the word of God, against the ways of God, then God opposes me. The trouble with having God oppose me is He's much bigger than I. If I get convicted, I don't kick against the pricks, I don't fight the conviction. I humble myself before God. And I make a grace adjustment because the conviction was brought for my benefit. The conviction was brought because God loves me and He wants me to have a right life. He wants me to have a capacity to receive from Him. But some people, they are proud. And they are not concerned with what God thinks. They are concerned with their own self-conscious opinion of themselves. And this is a believer who's very open to enemies' attacks. Because they are very self-conscious and they are not God-conscious. And they are looking in unto themselves and they're not looking unto the Savior. They're not looking unto the brazen serpent, and the snake bites do kill. And this believer gets wounded and hurt, and this believer gets either challenged or falls away. And when they are challenged, they can humble themselves before God and God will lift them up. Or if they get proud in their heart, they'll fall away. That's a dangerous place to be. Do you see it? It's not in the leaves. It's in the fruit. It's not in who I look. It's in who I am. It is possible for many... This happens sometimes with young people, particularly young men. Particularly young men with a gift. They want to look like something. Because they want to be something. So they want to appear to be it. And they get in a hurry. I'm grateful for the fact that I had to wait 17 years from the time I finished Bible college to the time I became a pastor. Why? Because there was no hurry in it. You're better off waiting and letting God do it than trying to produce it yourself. But for young men, especially gifted young men, there is a temptation. I want to get going. I want to take the world by the horns. You get these guys with beautiful hearts, but inexperienced. And they get out of Bible college and they're well trained. And some of them, not that many, but some, are like, okay, I'm going to take the world by the horns and I'm going to conquer the world now because I've been trained. I got news for you. When a doctor leaves medical school, he's not ready to practice medicine. He's ready to learn how to practice medicine. When a gifted young man leaves Bible college, he's not ready to be, let's say, if he feels led to be a pastor. Seldom is he ready to be a pastor. He's ready to start learning how to be a pastor. He hasn't attained yet. But that takes humility. It is a novice trait to be in a rush. It is a novice trait to seek glory. Why? Because glory is not the glory of God that's being sought, is it? If it was the glory of God that's being sought, there would be no rush. No. Humility will produce fruit when the nourishment comes. Pride will have leaves, but there will be no fruit, and ultimately the tree is cursed. What it has received became its own curse. You know, if that tree did not have good-looking leaves, Jesus would have never hoped to find fruit on it, and it would have never been cursed. But it's because it did have good-looking leaves. It's because there was nourishment to be had. It's because there was some life in that tree that the curse came toward it. Because it didn't have the fruit it was supposed to have. And this is how it works for the believer. I may have all the things that I need, but without humility, I will never have the fruit I'm supposed to have. And ultimately, the things that I need become my very curse. Perhaps the fact that I have the Word of God richly, it can lead me to places of insecurity. If I'm a young man and I have a gift and I am in the place where I have the Word of God richly, and all of a sudden I'm not being promoted in my timetable, then I can become very insecure. And that can be my curse. That can actually lead to my destruction. Because it is a form of pride. I want to exalt myself. I want others to exalt me. And it can destroy me. No, it doesn't happen. Don't do that. In Luke 6, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. You know, the problem with pride is there's something going up into that tree that is of the earth and not of God. There's something going on into that tree that's a little bit poisonous and will ultimately damage the tree. Pride is bad news. This is why it comes before a fall. Because I don't know how to walk if I'm in pride. So it comes before a fall. Cursed is the man in Jeremiah 17:5 who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see the good when it comes. Why? Because he trusts in man. He trusts in another man, or he trusts in his own man. He trusts in himself, his own natural ability. And he's like a shrub in the desert and does not see the good when it comes. This is where those conspiracies start. People who do not see good when it comes. People who get familiar with the Word of God, people who get familiar with the people of God, people who get familiar with fruit, and they do not see good when it comes. All they see is evil. All they see is a wounded spirit, and everything is filtered through an offense. But this is not a good place to be, because you don't see the good when it comes. You don't receive the Word of God when it comes. You don't receive the nourishment when it comes. You don't receive blessings from God when they come. You don't receive edification when it comes. Edification turns into an offense to you because you are living in the filter of a negative mindset. And so everything is negative. have a filter of a finished work mindset, and everything is finished work. Finished work mindset, I get convicted in the finished work. I get convicted being built up in the fact that I'm loved. There's no condemnation in that. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, the other man, he shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Even if there is a drought, that tree has fruit. Even if there is not a rich supply suddenly for whatever reason, perhaps it's persecution or illness or some other thing that comes against them when there is a drought, they will still produce fruit. Why? Because there is a river welling up from a spring that is within them, and it is the river that flows out from the throne of God. And it's brought to them through the Holy Spirit. And it's a spring of life within themselves. And they have life because life is springing up from them by the Holy Spirit that's within them, because they're fellowshipping with God even in the drought. And they don't stop from yielding fruit, because their source is not a natural source. Their source is not other people. Their source is their Savior. And in verse 12, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. I search your emotions and your volition and your consciousness and your self-image. I search your mind, your thought processes. I test your mind. I test your thoughts. I test to see whether you will think with the mind of Christ or whether you will think with the mind of the flesh. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing, not according to the leaves, but according to the fruits. See, there is a tree, there is a leaf, and there is a fruit. A bad tree can have good leaves, but it can't have good fruit. A good tree may not have the prettiest leaves in the world, but it has good fruit. Why? Because their heart is right with God. I may not have the greatest doctrine, but I can have good fruit if my heart is right with God. Be a tree that's planted by water, that has good leaves, that produces good fruit. Humble yourselves. Why? Don't think more of yourself than you ought. Why? Because God's hand is mighty. Humble yourselves. Trusting God is humility. Walking in faith is humility. Responding to God's word is humility. Sight is only required by pride. Pride will always want sight. Why? So that it doesn't have to trust God. This is why believers put God in a box. So they don't have to trust Him. He becomes very manageable. Trouble is, a manageable God is a very small God. Can you imagine? Who can manage you? right? Who can manage you? If you are young, your parents have a difficult time managing you. If you are old, you have a difficult time managing yourself. Who can manage you? Now I ask you, can you manage God? The believer who puts God in this little box tries to manage Him. And he becomes a nice, manageable little God. And there's no humility required. So I can define who He is. And suits my flesh and my natural understanding. That's not good fruit. It's not good fruit. Fruit is produced by humility and meekness before Him. Meekness is when I submit to God. Fruit is produced by mixing faith with what I hear and living by faith rather than sight. Fruit is a faith response to God as the Holy Spirit initiates His word to me in proper conviction and proper edification by His promises. Fruit is knowing my Savior and my Savior knowing me. When I get there, my life is transformed. And I actually have joy. And even if I'm in a trial, I can still have it. Because I have fruit and not just a leaf. Be a tree whose leaves produce fruit and not just leaves. Because then you'll be blessed by God. Mm-hmm.